16 salvation words, and assurance is our last one. I don't know about you, but I've certainly learned quite a lot from going through this together. Really appreciate the videos, and I think that notebook has been absolutely fantastic, a real keepsake or something to go back to if you have questions or something like that. I just have to relocate myself on the wheel. But yes, we're finishing off blessings experienced at conversion, and today's word is assurance. And just before we get into that, I want to just mention that today we'll maybe have a little bit more interaction. Instead of just the sermon kind of going out, we'll have a little bit of interaction. And one of the things we're going to do in the middle of our sermon, for the message this morning, is to have a sword drill. And the purpose of this is to help us to have maybe not just a better understanding of assurance, or maybe we already were assured, but to help us to tell others about their assurance in the Lord. And so one other thing about sword drill, it's also going to be an exercise in humility and weakness. So when we find, you stand up and you say the verse, so then after you've said a verse once, then the next time, that'll be the one verse you get to say. Otherwise, Mrs. Simmons is going to get we'll say one verse if you can get it, and if not, and so let's say someone gets the first verse, and they stand up and say it. That doesn't mean the rest of the time they're like, hey, I already got the first verse, I don't have to do this anymore. No, you have to. This is a sword drill, so you still have to participate. And but this is where weakness comes in, and maybe you find it first next, but. So you have the ability and the power to jump up and read it, but you're gonna show some weakness and just let someone else read it. And it's a bit like playing frozen tag, and the person that's 9 years old is it, and everyone else he's playing with is like 4 or 5 years old, and he can wipe them all out in 30 seconds. But he just them by and chases them around a little bit. And so that's kind of like weakness. We want to do that with our sword drill. It also means though. When we find maybe we find it the second or third time, it's not like, please hurry up, lunch is in the oven. When we ever find that verse, like that's a bit of pride, right? So we want to have humility and meekness wrapped up into one sword drill. And whoever finds the verse first, starts reading it, as you know. But once they start reading, we're going to stop, turn in our pages, we're just going to listen because there's some key words that we all need to pick out of that sword drill. There's some really key words there. Okay? So, we'll read Luke. We're going to read Luke chapter 13, 23 to 30 together. And the question is, what are we trusting in? What are we trusting in? And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. And as Jesse prayed, may he prepare our hearts to receive it. May he speak to us from it by his Spirit. Verse 22. And when he, that is Jesus, went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem, then said one to him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said to them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he shall answer and say to you, I do not know where you are from. And they shall begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in your presence, and you have taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not from whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and yourselves thrust out, and they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. And so the words that I really want to draw our attention to
are the words of verse 26. It says, then they shall begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in your presence, and you have taught, in our streets. And so the idea of that they have, that these people, they have eaten and drunk in the presence of the Lord, they've had some sort of religious experience. And it says here that they have, you have taught us in our streets. And so they have some religious knowledge. They have religious experience, they have religious knowledge, but they end up where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. So the question I have is, and I'm not going to get into the whole passage, but the question we have about these people in verse 26, who have this religious experience, who have this religious knowledge, and yet they find themselves cast out, why didn't these people make the cut? That's my question for you right now. Why didn't these people make the cut? Why are they on the outside? Okay. So anyone can answer that.
They trusted in their own abilities.
Yeah, they could have been trusting in their own abilities. Yeah, that's possible. What do you think their trust was in? When they say, well, we have eaten and drunk in your presence and you have taught in our streets, would their trust perhaps be in their religious experience, or perhaps their trust is in their religious knowledge, their faith is in kind of this religious thing that they're kind of practicing and going through? And it doesn't really say here that, oh, they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and were saved, but somehow they didn't keep the faith. It doesn't say anything like that. So they have this religious knowledge, they have this religious experience, and that's what they bring to the Lord. Lord, this, my religious experience, my religious knowledge, this is what I have. Why is this keeping me out? And we know from other scriptures, and the scriptures, we know from some of those other gospel words that by faith are you saved, by grace are you saved through faith. And so our faith needs to be in not those things that we do, as Jerry was saying, but in the person and in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I just bring that up at the beginning just to ask the question, before we get into assurance, we need to ask the question, well, what are we really trusting in here? What are we really trusting in? Who are we really trusting in? Ourselves, our performances as good religious people? Or are we trusting the finished work of the Lord Jesus? Has anyone ever struggled with salvation? I know I have at times. And so why was that a person was struggling? Well, perhaps the person really isn't a believer in the Lord Jesus, right? The Holy Spirit comes into the world to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And maybe we're under the heavy conviction of the Holy Spirit. And we've never actually given our life over to the Lord. We've never said, well, I'm trusting you, Lord, to save me from my sins. We've been going about to save ourselves. And if you're drowning, Hannah Joy's she's a lifeguard. If she just said, well, save yourself. That's a really silly statement. We can't save ourselves. We're drowning. If we could save ourselves, we wouldn't need being saved. So when you're drowning, you need a lifeguard. You need someone to save you. And there's only one Savior. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe someone is really, truly saved, and they're living for the Lord. They're walking for the Lord, but the enemy of souls wants to steal their joy, take away the joy. That's another possibility why we might struggle with the assurance of salvation. And perhaps a person truly is saved, but they're walking after the flesh. They're a true believer, they're a genuine believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. but that they're walking after the flesh, they're being convicted by the Lord, and their profession isn't lining up with their walk, whether it's publicly or secretly, the profession isn't lining up, and then so the doubts come. So one thing that we want to be clear on is that salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. It's not about us and our performance and how we make it happen. Salvation is of the Lord. The way of salvation is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So for those who are trusting the Lord Jesus Christ to save them from their sins, the Bible says that there's some things that we are and have and know. And so that's the first thing we need to do is, maybe you haven't done this yet, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you're unsure of heaven, even right now in the quietness of your own heart, you can say, oh, Lord Jesus, I need you to save me from my sins. I'm trusting you to save me. My religious experience set aside, my this or that set aside, I need you to save me. I don't know myself. I was baptized as an infant, and I had First Communion, and I was confirmed in the church, and I was the guy that lit the candles at the front. I was something special, and I wasn't that bad. I mean, I had done some bad things, but I thought I wasn't that bad. I compared myself to others, like those murderers and those people, and I wasn't one of them, so it should all work out for me in the end. But the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so the question again is, what are we trusting in? Does it have anything to do with me? Or does it have everything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? Salvation is of the Lord. And so there's three things here. The Bible says, for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved, the Bible says, speaking of our assurance, that there's things that we are, and there's things that we have, and that there's things that we know. And so these are the things that we want to look at now. So what does the Bible say that we are, and right now, the present continuous tense, like right now, every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, what does the Bible say that we are? And so this is where the sword drill begins. Okay, so Bible's up. And I'll say the chapter, then the verse, and then the book. All right. Chapter 2, verse 8, Ephesians. Oh, sorry. I didn't realize that at all. Okay, Bible's up one more time. Chapter 2, verse 12, 1 John, go.
Yes.
For by grace are you saved through faith. And so the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are saved. Present, continuous, tense. Okay. Bible's up. Chapter 13. Verse 39, Acts, go. So what are we are, or what I think in that verse it says, is, or what is true about all believers from that verse?
Justified.
All believers are justified. They are justified. And, okay, Bible's up. Chapter 3, verse 2, 1 John. Trust the Lord on this one. Can we say yes, yea, and amen to His word? So what does the Bible say that we have, or sometimes the verse might, that you read might say has, but what is it that we have right now? Okay, Bible's ready. Chapter 1. Verse 8 to 9, 2 Timothy, go. Ephesians, go. does that verse say that we have?
Redemption.
We have redemption. We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That's what the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has right now. We have redemption. A chapter, what Bible's up? Chapter 5, verse 1. Romans, go.
Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. So what do we have in that verse? We have peace with God. We have it. We have it right now. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. One more for what we have. There's others in the Bible, but this is the last one, the sort of chapter. So Bible's up, chapter 5, verse 24. John, go. We know there? Our Redeemer lives. God's not dead, he's fully alive. Our Redeemer lives. I did one Old Testament. There's some in Isaiah, but there's none in Isaiah in this sort of. Okay, chapter, Bible's up. Chapter, when I just say the book, that means go, okay? I don't know. Chapter 3, verse 14, 1 John. You have two terms to reopen.
Christopher, go.
And we know that we are of God and the whole world lies in the living.
Okay, what do we know? We know what? Yes, we know that we are of God. Why? Because we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all the sword drills we have for now. And so the question is, are we going to trust our feelings about this? Or are we going to trust God?
Yeah.
Great. Right answer. Let's trust the Lord when it comes to the assurance of salvation. And we should not be depending on our feelings. Not just about our assurance of salvation, but other decisions we make in life. But we should depend on the Lord. Our feelings, they're changeable, they're unreliable, but God is unchanging. And because God is unchanging and our security is in Him, our security is unchanging. So it's better to believe the faithful Word of God, which is totally reliable and completely unchanging. I think in the handbook, if you're going through some of those fill-in-the-blanks you would have come across, what Christ did on the cross makes us safe. What He says in His Word makes us sure. And so I'd like to look at Matthew chapter 26, please. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 56. This is the night the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be crucified for our sins. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. And then this is the part of the sentence I'm going to read. This is the sentence. Then all the disciples forsook Him and fled. All the disciples forsook Him and fled. And then verse 75. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said to him, "Before the cock crow, you shall deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. And so these disciples that forsook Him and fled, which was all of them, and Peter, which denied Him, what was the response of the Lord to them? Did the Lord forsake them? Matthew chapter 28 and verses 8 to 10. Now this is resurrection morning, resurrection day. Matthew 28 says, "And they departed," this is the women, "departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring His disciples word. And as they went to tell His disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, 'All hail.' And they came and held Him by the feet and worshipped Him. Then said Jesus to them, 'Be not afraid, but tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me.'" And the video did the video pointed this out, that the disciples which forsook Him and fled, Peter which denied Him, Jesus forsake them? Jesus says here, "Go and tell my brethren." He calls them brothers. So, what happens when we fall short? What happens when we sin? Do we lose our salvation? No, of course not. We have the Bible talks about all these things that we have and are and know. But we're to confess our sin, and God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the aspiration of our hearts is to live as the Lord said. Go and sin no more. That's the aspiration. That's the desire of our hearts, is to live for Him. And so we've talked about these things that we have, these things that we are, these things that we have, and these things that we know. And the idea that we really want to drive home is that we can trust the Word of God. So the Bible says this truth gives them confidence that they have eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised them before the world began. And now we're almost coming full circle back to the foreknowledge of God. And we talked about foreknowledge and election and predestination and adoption. That, some of these things that took place in the mind of God before the world began. But here it says, he has given us eternal life, and God does not lie. Can we trust a God who does not lie? Right? We can trust him for salvation. So let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. I don't know if you're into marking your Bibles or underlying. Sometimes I put little dots beside the verse number. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. And so here the gospel is coming in much assurance. The Lord, he wants us to be assured of heaven when our faith is in him. When our faith is in him. The finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ ensures our salvation. And it ensures the forgiveness of all of our sins. So I think it's clear, but I can't emphasize it enough. Because I was once trusting in these sorts of things. But our faith, the assurance of our faith, it's not in our religious experiences. It's not in our religious knowledge. It's in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for our sins, and he paid the penalty in full for our sins. He rose again, God being satisfied with the payment. And when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved from our sins. So it's not about us. It's not about us hanging on to the end. It's not about our performance and whether we measure up. None of us have measured up to God's standard. Our assurance comes when we completely trust the finished work and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll end with this passage in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And just remember that one of the two verses ago, the Apostle Paul said, God cannot lie. God cannot lie. First John chapter 5, he that believes on the Son of God has the witness in himself. He that believes not God has made him a liar, because he does not believe the record that God gave him of his Son. So to reject God's testimony concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, to reject God's word concerning that Christ alone can save, is to accuse God of dishonesty. You're saying, this is what John said. He who does not believe God has made him a liar. God can't be trusted. You're making him a liar. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. That was one of our sort of verses. He has given to us eternal life. And he that has the Son has life, and he that does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. There's a hymn with the verse of the hymn, oh how marvelous, oh how wonderful. And my song shall ever be. Thank you. Isn't it marvelous, isn't it wonderful that we have eternal life through Jesus Christ? That's something reserved for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Alone, like other religions in the world as well, I hope so. Maybe if you do it long enough, give it up, whatever enough. But then we have that full assurance that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us eternal life. And this eternal life is not found in, again, I know I sound like I'm repeating myself, I just want to be very clear. Our eternal life is not found in our religious performance. found only in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So next week is review week. I don't think it'll be quite like those exams at university. I think there'll be, it's good to review, to bring to things again to remembrance. And I think there'll be some, well, I guess we'll just wait and see what it's like, right, Jonathan?
Yeah, there'll be a quiz.
A quiz. Perfect. Let's thank the Lord for so great salvation. Our Father in heaven, I'm so grateful that we could be gathered around your word this morning and that we could be reminded of these truths. And we pray that your word would bring forth fruit for eternity in our hearts. We pray that we would walk in full assurance in the faith that saves the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask your blessing on each one in this room. I pray that each one here would cry out to you from the bottom of their hearts whenever in need, and especially for a Savior. Lord, we pray that we would not be ashamed to tell others of such a wonderful salvation, and we pray that indeed the song of our life would be, oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save us. So we ask your blessing on us and commit the rest of our time together to you this morning. In your name we pray.